When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
From London, I'm John Weeks, and this is The Standard. The Labour Party is under fire after ditching its pledge to spend £28 billion on making Britain a clean energy superpower. Sir Keir Starmer is scaling back the plans in response to the country's economic situation, and in part to show that Labour can be the responsible party with the UK's finances. And it's not the first time we've seen such a scaling back of eco policies. In September last year, the Conservative government made its own green policy U-turn, pushing back net zero goals and delaying the ban on the sale of new petrol and diesel cars. Back then, Jess Ralston from the Energy and Climate Intelligence Unit think tank told us there's actually an appetite among voters for more green policies from the government.
Yeah, interestingly, actually, throughout the pandemic and the cost of living crisis, climate change and the environment has remained in the top four or even three most of the time, the top concerns for the public. So I think it's barking up the wrong tree to say that, you know, the public want to see less net zero measures. I actually think they probably want to see more, because we're all seeing the floods, the droughts, all the other consequences of climate change happening in the world, but also in the UK. And that has an impact on how people feel about action on climate change.
So, what has prompted Labour to cut the budget for one of its five key election missions? And how could this latest decision impact votes in the upcoming general election? Joining me now is our deputy political editor, Jitendra Joshi. So, Jitendra, this is quite a significant U-turn by Labour, isn't it? What do you think has prompted it?
There are two answers to that question. The Labour answer would be that when they made this plan in 2021, projections for government spending and finance were very different. Pre Liz Truss, pre the quasi so-called budget, or quasi Kwarteng, which Labour say crashed the economy, drive up borrowing costs, and required the government to really rein things in, and required themselves, the Labour Party, to rein in their own projections as to where they would be able to take the economy, take government spending, and specifically take a green investment plan once the election came around. More specifically, however, you could point to quite damaging attacks in recent weeks from the Tories, who have been arguing that $28 billion, even if it comes through new borrowing, effectively amounts to a tax grab on ordinary families in the middle of a cost of living crisis. You can raise borrowing, but someone has to pay for that eventually, which is somewhat ironic, given that's exactly what Liz Truss and Kwasi Kwarteng did, and that's what Rishi Sunak has been trying to rectify ever since. However, whatever's caused the situation to be in where we are, Labour say they recognise that we are where we are. Things have changed in the last two or three years, and much as they'd like to plough ahead with this and other ambitious policies, they will not compromise on what Rachel Reeves calls her fiscal rules and her intention to manage the economy with what she says is will be iron discipline.
This sort of change, this U-turn, has already received quite a lot of opposition and criticism, even today. Do you think it will have the desired effect for Labour, or do you think it will actually backfire?
What we're seeing today, you're right, is a storm of criticism from all sides, most obviously from government, that's to be expected, but also from within Labour ranks, from environmentalists, from the scientific community. This announcement comes on the day that EU scientists are warning that we've already seen over the past year, for the first time ever, sustained temperature rises globally, surpassing 1.5 degrees centigrade, which, as you'll recall, is the target which we're meant to limit temperature rises at, 1.5 degrees. We're already over that. So the warnings are piling up that actually we're entering very, very dangerous new territory here for the global climate. The floods and the wildfires and so on that we've been seeing over the last couple of years are really a portent of much worse to come. So in the short term sense, yes, it's backfiring with concerned members of the Labour Party, with environmentalists and with the scientific community. However, Labour are betting, I think, on a political calculus here, which is that this is all quite academic to voters at large, whether ultimately we end up spending $28 billion or less, or even more perhaps once the economy allows it, is neither here nor there, that they are committed to a green investment plan. The actual figure might be up for grabs, but they don't think voters are going to obsess about that necessarily. What voters do worry about and what the leadership wants to inoculate themselves against is any notion that they're being irresponsible after all that we went through with Liz Truss and Kwasi Kwarteng, that Rachel Reeves and Keir Starmer insisted, actually, you can trust us now to stabilise the economy and to manage your finances responsibly while taking a longer-term view on these investments. So whether it ultimately backfires, we'll have to see. Their calculation is it's worth the short-term hit from what they would see as the usual suspects.
And that being said, there is, of course, an economic benefit to a lot of these green projects, or at least a purported economic benefit. Do we know at all, Jitendra, from other countries, whether big investment in green projects like wind energy have actually worked to sort of boost the economy?
Well, this is exactly the point that Labour critics such as Barry Gardner are making. We spoke with Mr. Gardner this morning. He's the MP for Brent North and a former shadow climate secretary. His point is that if you take the US example under Joe Biden, the Inflation Reduction Act has created, just in its first year, has created 170,000 new jobs and brought about new investment of $110 billion into the US economy. This is through exactly the same kind of investments that the Green Prosperity Plan foreseen by Labour would bring about, including home insulation, new renewable energy, such as offshore wind turbine manufacturing, gigafactories to make batteries for electric vehicles, and so on. The big caveat to that is that Britain is not America. We don't have that sort of borrowing power. And especially after the Liz Truss administration, Britain's cost of borrowing went right up. And so the Americans can borrow to their heart's content, really, because of the position of the US dollar as the world's reserve currency. We simply don't have that buying power. That would be the concern expressed by Rachel Reeves and her team, is that we need to cut our cloth according to the finances the Labour will inherit.
Let's take a break now. Coming up in part two, sustainability expert Juliet Kinsman explains how the climate, government policies and things like migration are all interconnected.
I think people don't always make that connection, that the government's policies perhaps around migration and the government's policies around a transition to green energy are actually part of the same conversation.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hold up.
So, Juliet, Labour making this change, this sort of U-turn, is pretty bad timing, isn't it? With the release of this data showing that the world has seen 12 months of more than 1.5 degrees Celsius above pre-industrial levels. What does that mean, and why is this sort of latest climate update so significant?
So the planet is heating up. We've had so many warnings, and I think it's heartening that people are talking about climate. They're aware of what sustainability means. We know that the United Nations has been saying for a long time that we have to cap the increase in temperatures. However, we're not doing so. The Paris Agreement from 2015 really did lay out a strategy and a big warning that we can't go above 1.5 degrees because there will be dramatic consequences to human life, to geography, to the warming of the oceans. And I'm afraid to say we're not doing very well. Human activity, we're living in the Anthropocene era, we call it. That's the era where humans are affecting everything in the planet. Human activity is causing the world to heat up to dangerous levels.
And Labour will say, you know, they are still committed to the cause. They're still committed to green projects, but they have to manage their figures appropriately and focus on different things at different times. Is that fair enough, do you think?
I think a lot of everything in the world comes down to money, and it comes down to spreadsheets and the people in charge trying to reconcile, well, how things will serve budgets. And people tend to vote according to what suits them financially.
And this is, of course, just one policy change by one party in one country. But how much power do our votes actually have when it comes to sort of impacting the climate?
I think there's a cognitive dissonance. We know that there's a climate crisis. We know the planet's heating up. But somehow we just think those in charge, whether it's corporations or governments, are the ones who are going to fix things. There's a disconnect between our own actions. But of course, we're the ones who vote for those who are in charge. We're the ones that buy products from certain corporations. Our own lifestyle choices, we have huge agency over that, whether we choose green energy providers, who we have our bank accounts with. You know, financial systems and political systems, it is all interconnected with people everywhere and the planet.
And I understand that you've been saying that there's a direct link between climate change and immigration. How does that work?
So if you look at our planet heating up, you look at the continent of Africa. So that's 54 countries out of 195, a quarter of the world's countries. Those temperatures they're experiencing are absolutely on the rise. If you look at Ethiopia, year-round averages going up, there's a really significant famine there. It doesn't get as much airtime as it should. Those people will need to move simply to survive. And so there's going to be a big connection between people moving, migration, whether asylum seekers, refugees, trying to seek places they can live just to survive. And I think people don't always make that connection that the government's policies perhaps around migration and the government's policies around a transition to green energy are actually part of the same conversation.
Pick up the Evening Standard newspaper for more news, interviews and analysis, or head to standard.co.uk. Thanks for listening. We're back tomorrow afternoon at 4 o'clock.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.